This is
Harvey Talks.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
How are you on this fourth night of great comfort?
I am comforted.
Here we are, creeping up on All Hallows Eve. Halloweeny.
You know, this time of year is always a weird time of year for... It's just weird. I'll just say it. Because you have all these... You have a great number of Christians who are just like anti.
Yeah. And then you have a great number of them who are like,
we'll just pretend. We'll, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just the kids will have fun or whatever. And then you have these other Christians who are totally like the off the wall. We're going to really be into Halloween and but still think it's okay kind of stuff, which is weird.
Yeah.
So it's like this whole weird scenario where, you know, I'm not in any of those camps, to be honest. Like I'm very much not a celebrate, like I don't look at Halloween as a, you know, this big mega holiday or anything, but I don't really have any issues with kids having fun dressing up as anything or whatever, as long as you're not like, you know, promoting anything that is outright
graphic or
witchcraft or demonic, well,
and
or whatever.
Another thing too,
or horror movies for that matter.
My kids, when they were little, I took them out trick or treating, man, and it wasn't a big deal, you know. We never like killed a goat and called upon the spirit of Gagooly or whatever it is. We just went out and had fun and laughed and trick or treated and treated people with respect and, you know, had a good time. And I was watching one of my favorite Instagrammers, and he was talking about how that in some of the major Democratic cities that now Halloween is racist.
What is not racist?
And,
is there
and,
anything
and
his left explanation that's not racist?
Was, his explanation was, here's his explanation. Because when dressing up as a quote-unquote white character, you are perpetuating and with a multiplier the dominance of the white race. Oh, I actually laughed and then maybe I fell off the couch and then I walked away because this is just dumb. I can't even listen to this anymore because it's making my head hurt. But one of the things is, I don't know if you heard this, but they legitimately found a neighborhood where somebody had put needles in the candy. So the reason I bring this up is because of this. Guys, if there's ever a time in our lives where there is a literal nutbag out there, like chock full of cashews, right? Like he's sitting in his living room, flipping through Guns and Animals, sitting in a kiddie pool full of his own urine, whatever that dude is, he's going to be out there now. Because those people are looking to make an impact. So, yes, if you take your kids trick-or-treating, check their candy before they eat it. And that doesn't mean take your dad tax of 10%. That means actually stop, dump the bag out, go through the candy. I do it every year. It takes 5 to 7 minutes to make sure that there's no stabbing or deadly objects in the candy. And but, yes, I would say of any time in our existence – now would be the time you probably want to check your kids' candy. And I hate to say that, man. I hate to say that. It breaks my heart to say that, but it's the truth. We live in a time full of absolute wing nuts. And
they're everywhere, man.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, like I just – oh, man, I just don't even know where to start with all this stuff.
Dude, I will say there's a psychologist that I was listening to, and he had a very good point. He goes, the things that you're seeing right now are the ripple of COVID. He said, it wasn't going to hit immediately. He said, you had to give everybody time to lose their mind. He said, but we're now 5 years out. He goes, and now you're seeing the actual ripple, absolute dumpster fire of mental health that was coming after COVID. He said, so that's probably what's happening. He's like, everybody held it in as long as they could. They held their crazy as long as they could. And now they're crazy just running up and down the street with one sock on and a construction helmet and a rubber boot on the other foot talking about, you know, I spoke to an alien this morning as I was eating my eggs. Like, crazy people. Like, I've ran into a couple of them, man. I was talking to a guy at the grocery store the other day, and he just started in, and I was like, yeah, you are a 5-gallon quick creep bucket of crazy, my friend.
Like, well, there's all kinds of things now, man, where you like, it's like these, and I don't even know where these ideas are coming from. You know what I mean? Like, some of the things that I've run into in public are just like, what? Where? What?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even have any really good example, to be honest, because they're so bizarre. I mean, it's where? What? What?
It's, you know, out there, man.
But anyway, so get back to this. So Halloween, we're doing a worship night on Halloween. So that's what we're doing for church. But the girls are going trick or treating with their mom. You know,
They should. Yeah. Man.
So it's like we just have a couple. Look, here's the thing about this stuff. Like, yes, there is. We should never participate or like lift up like things like witchcraft or whatever, because there are some serious issues with those things, especially when it comes to there's real people who try to be witches, and now I mean, they have, and there's all these, you can read countless stories about, you know, that they left the coven and all this stuff. I mean, that's they really do.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but then that gets roped into the same thing with like Harry Potter, and you're like, okay, look, Harry Potter's a fictional story, a written fantasy about a little boy who come to age, do all this other stuff. Okay. Yes, it's not. It has their wizards and stuff, but J.K. Rowling did not write that to say that any of that was real or that you should do any of this stuff or whatever, right? And so it's all about how you, as a parent, teach your kids. Like, you're like, so my kids love Harry Potter, but they know. You can ask them right now, you know, is Harry Potter real or whatever? Do you want to do those things? And they'll say no. That's not real and it's wrong. They'll say that because that's what I've taught them.
Which you've taught them.
You know?
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity, Reggie, to start a new segment on our show called Ask Reggie. I'm going to ask you some very poignant questions about the celebration of All Hallows Eve, and I would like for you to answer these questions with all of your repertoire of depth of knowledge.
Okay. Fire away.
Okay, number one. Is celebrating by trick-or-treating or dressing up as a clown or a goofy witch or whatever a sin?
No.
Is watching a scary movie or going to a haunted house a sin? And by haunted house, I mean, you know, people come up and wear like cracky clown costumes and jump out of the bushes, and you know, is that a sin?
No. Okay, but there's caveats to both those questions.
Okay, lay them on me.
Like, I tell the girls they're not dressing up as witches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a sin to do so? I think that's a freaking gray area where you could really, and I think gray areas are, we want to avoid those, right? Because it's like it's this thing where because at the same token, you might say your daughter just wants to be Hermione Granger from Harry Potter, so she's dressing up like a witch, and has a wand and all this kind of stuff. But she may fully know, like, well, I can't, you know, this is real. This is just make believe. I'm just having fun because I like Hermione Granger on the show. And she may never think that anything she's doing is magic or whatever.
Okay.
But somebody else could see that and be like, oh, I want to do the same thing too. So do you really, I mean, it's like you don't want to actually perpetuate some kind of witch thing either.
Yeah.
So like it's like one of those half and half things. Like, I mean, it's not like innately a sin.
Well, like if I had a daughter and she said, I want to be Glinda the Good Witch from The Wizard of Oz for Halloween, I don't know that I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, because again, it's about how you're doing that, and like, you know,
of course there would be the conversation.
Yeah, right? But I that's why we say no, you can't dress up like, because we told her you can't dress up like Hermione Granger.
Okay.
Because we didn't, it was a gray area where, like, you know, that could really be misconstrued a lot of different ways. Plus, we are active members in a local church that we are really going to go to, and we want to represent that body of believers as best as we can. And I don't want anybody thinking anything negatively about of the church or who we are or what we believe and everything. I want that to be very clear. So it's like I went the extra step to say, you know what, even though that's probably going to be okay, we're just to make sure we're not going to do that.
Okay, right? So next question. We both know that the church in general tends to get a little cracky about Halloween. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
What would a better way for the church to approach that be? Like I got to give my church credit. They're cool, right? They talk about it. They make sure that everything is understood, but there's not like this reverb of, oh my God, it's Halloween. Reese's coming out and trees come to life and donkeys smack gooses and all. They're not talking about all that stuff, right? So there's this, how can the body of the church body politic handle this a little better?
Well, for one, recognize that your kids are going to want to engage in that fun, right? Yeah. If you just flat out say no and just forbid all of that kind of stuff and you have that kind of extreme attitude, you're going to actually probably do more harm than good. So what I would encourage a lot of – and some churches do this, by the way. They do like a – they'll do their own like trunk or treat kind of thing where you can come to the church and participate in that kind of stuff. But – and like, for instance, what our church is doing with the worship night kind of thing, that's – cool, because then they're, but I mean, it's not intentional behind the kids. I think you really gotta go with something for the kids to make sure that they don't feel like they're missing out on something.
I saw something really cool on a video the other day. It was a church, probably had about 200 members, and they had all, like, I don't know if I'll have to find the video, Jesus Ween, whatever you want to call it. But what they did was during the service, all the adults had to bring some candy, and the kids got to weave through, and the adults would throw candy in their bag. And there were kids dressed up as, like, you know, shepherds and angels. And there was even a kid in there who was dressed like a wacky rainbow-haired clown and, like, all that stuff. But they made it engaging for the kids and then gave a very good sermon kind of involving the kids, because they went to the back and sat down for the sermon and talked about how to recognize when someone was the red flags of someone who might be into witchcraft or someone who might be trying to imbue some cultish behavior and stuff. I thought it was handled really well.
Right.
And I think that the creativity part of that is the best part, right? Like, the church was like, we can't just beat the kids up and be like, no, you can't. But they're like, how can we make this a celebration of the church? They had great, like, little kid, like, hymns up there, and everybody was singing the hymns while they were passing out candy. And then it was I felt very good when it was over. Like, I felt like it was a super positive experience that I got to watch, and all these kids seemed very happy, and, you know. But I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like the church struggles being creative. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, what? It's not really hard, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really not. You just want to make it to where it's, you leave out the kind of as much of the, you know, stuff that's wrong. Put it in a holy nature, right? Yeah. You know, this year, the first year that we actually had a worship night for this kind of stuff, because usually we don't. And we take my kids over to my brother's neighborhood. They have, like, a big neighborhood we walk around in and do that. But the whole neighborhood's, like, there and walking around, and it's like an event.
Yeah, same thing we do right up the road from us. There's a whole big subdivision. They're like some of the houses, man, they come out with, like, fresh baked cookies for the adults. And, like, here, have a cookie, you know. Stop and chat with the other adults and get engaged. And I thought it was really cool. Like, I think
you're missing out by being so strict anti if you don't, because you get a chance to go to these places and demonstrate your, you know, Christ in you kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean, as far as, like, what churches can do, there's so many things, man. I mean, you don't just don't make it lame for just being like a stick in the mud kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because dressing up as something and being creative and having a good time is not There's nothing wrong with that. It's when you it's idolatry and stuff you get into when you're talking about other things, right?
Okay. Sweet. And that was Ask Reggie.
Thank you.
So, Reggie, something else I've been paying attention to is apparently they're building a new ballroom at the White House.
And apparently,
of all of the things in this country we have to worry about, you know, homelessness, the birth rate plummeting, 2 out of 100 things I could name right now, we're worried about the fact that they're doing renovations at the White House.
And we still have the government shut down, but this is
so which we're worried about that. Which I'm telling you is going to end on November 1st. Would you like to know why? Because that's when SNAP and EBT runs out, and the Democrats are not going to lay down on that sword because they're the ones that wants to give away everything for free. Well, when those programs go away, the Democrats have no quarter. Like, they lose their positioning altogether. So watch. November 1st, it'll get settled because the Democrats won't put themselves in a position to be completely hated by even the very people that they're trying to pay off loans for and do all those things. Because when the kids get hungry, people tend to not care which side of the body politic you're on. They just want to know that they're being taken care of. So I'm predicting that it will have a November 1st rectification to this.
Okay, getting back to the ballroom before we get off the rabbit trail on that one too much. The many times that White House has had work done or done this or done that or whatever there's many, many, many times, right?
Yes.
And so I guess I'm just, of all things, you want to throw a fit about a freaking ballroom. Obama did a basketball court. You know, there was a bowling alley put in at one point, mm-hmm. a bunker, all this other stuff. There's been countless things.
A president in the early 70s renovated the entire second floor of the White House because there wasn't enough room for his family downstairs. Okay.
I'm obviously not going to balls or parties at the White House. But, I mean, from what I've read from other things, there seem to be, like, they're always having to put up a tent and always to do this for the events they do. And apparently that's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of money every time they do that. And why not have a ballroom to do all these things that they want to do with all this stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
It's being privately financed by people that are not in the government. Like, the government's not paying for any of it. There's actually private investors that have come in and said, we would love to invest in remodeling the White House. Here's free money. We'll pay for
it. So I guess the point is, though, is like, here's another example of the loony left, though, because it just seems this is utter nonsense to keep railing about. And like, I really thought it was just going to be like one of those.
I thought it was a Babylon Bee story at first.
Well, but even when I realized it wasn't, but it was still like, surely this is, I didn't pay it really much attention. I thought, they're just blowing a lid because they can.
Yeah.
Here we are still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What? You know, so, I mean, there's really not much to say about it other than it's just idiot. It's just so stupid.
The loony left reminds me of like a seventh grade middle schooler who loves a lot of things, but none of them make sense and none of them are helpful. The loony left is just absolutely. I mean, honestly, man. And here's the thing: now we're watching Democrats jump ship and run to the other side. They're like, wait a minute.
But okay. Here's the equation. Here doesn't add up though a little bit. And here's why I say that. So what I said last episode about the No Kings having only this, apparently, that was wrong. It was way more than that. It was huge, hugely attended throughout some of these places or whatever. Well, okay, but at the same token, then you see like there are the left is not popular at all.
No, they're the most hated political group in history,
and the people are fleeing that party. Yet you have a No Kings protest that somehow had millions of people.
Well, but here's the thing. You got to realize something, Reggie. The United States right now floats between 467 and 469 million people.
Yeah.
Okay, so how strong is your cause if you couldn't get above 1.5% of the population to show up?
I know. I'm not saying that.
Like, even if it's 7 million, the way, because I saw the same story too. And when they were like, it's because at first it was like only 740,000 showed up. Well, now we know there was right around 7 million. Drop in the bucket. You're not making an impact. You're just making fools of yourself.
But at the same token, though, there's 7 million people that thought it was a good idea to go to a protest that made no sense.
Yeah, and that there's no king. There's no. I mean, you know, even saying there's no. I asked somebody the other day, I was like, what does it mean that he's behaving like a king? And their answer was, he's making decisions that we don't like. Has not every president made decisions that half the country didn't like? Are you that stupid?
You know, it's not just that, dude. Yeah. When you talk about Lindy Levin, like this ballroom thing, it just doesn't surprise me that they're still railing about that kind of stuff when you have crap like that. And the fact that there is 7 million people that go as far as to show up. Now, granted, most of them are bussed in and they're paid for it to be there.
Yeah.
But they show up to an idiotic protest, holding up signs that are
have nothing to do with the king.
Completely,
like free Palestine.
Oh, I mean, completely retarded, and so it's just it boggles my mind. Are that many stupid people?
Well, and on top of that, my favorites are the ones that we now have a peace deal in place. Yet, and Palestine is not under attack. Yet they are still holding up signs that say free Palestine.
Yeah,
I know. He did already. So go home.
I don't know. It just blows me away. But yeah, anyway, the ballroom thing. Look, ballroom. Who cares? It's a flipping ballroom.
Any
of you have a problem? Are you going to go to the White House? You're going to, like, you are really proud? I mean, come on. Come on. Get like, oh my gosh. And then at the same time, then you waste your breath on all this ballroom crap, and then you refuse to acknowledge the lunacy of all the crap that the Democrats are saying they want paid for to keep the and won't open the government because they want all this crap paid for. It is insane. Now, look, I'm not going to recite all these things because honestly, you're not going to believe me if you don't. If you anyway, just go look.
You just got to look it up.
All right, so look, let me get back to this whole government shutdown thing too, because I think this is the thing here. The government's been shut down for a while now, and Brian, is your life tougher at the moment?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just check in.
I still get up every morning to go to work. I still come home every night, take care of my family. I still have to pay taxes and worship and do all the normal things I would do. The only people that the government shutdown is affecting is the people that probably should feel the effect at this point. And I hate to be that guy. Now, I don't agree with the complete cutoff of SNAP and EBT coming on the 1st of November. But again, I believe I don't believe that's a sword that the Dems will fall on.
I know, but here's my point, man. We like it or not, and I don't understand, and I really don't, I do understand, but like, it is immature, and I think very childish for people to sit there and want the government to supply and do all these things for the citizenry in general when they're things that the citizens should be able to do by themselves. And I mean that I'm very much a libertarian when it comes to economic policy and all that kind of stuff. You leave me alone, I leave you alone, good to go.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't need you. All I just collect my taxes and stay out of my business.
Not even collect, I mean, like, you know, I'm just anything that can be privatized, do it. Don't get it out of the government. It doesn't need to be there. Anyway, but the shutdown thing just blows me away. And the fact of it is that the Congress have their own, you know, they don't abide by the same things that we do as Americans anyway, which is stupid. They should have the same retirement thing. They should have the same health care stuff. They should have the same kind of stipulations and everything that we do as American citizens. Nothing should be special for them. That way, when something like this happens, they get affected just like everybody else, if there is one.
Yeah.
So, anyway, my point being is that the shutdown is just a total – it should show you how ridiculously overdone our government is and how much it needs to shrink and go away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally okay. Correct.
So, next topic.
We're rolling.
And I do want to pay attention to this, and I've been actually following this, but – Over 125,000 Christians massacred in Nigeria as the world focuses on prayer.
Dude.
So I'm going to give you some statistics, just some things that they're just solid numbers. 18,000 churches burnt since 2009. 50,000 killed since 2009. 5 million Christians displaced in Africa, including citizens of the African country displaced. And so far in 2025, 7,000 Christians have been murdered in Nigeria and in Africa. And, you know, if there was ever a time for our government to stand up and say, enough. We have American citizens going to another country and being slaughtered because of what they believe. Whether you're left, right, Dem, Republican, Libertarian, all of us should agree that that should not be going on.
Yeah.
And it is starting to make its way into other countries, the Middle East being one of them. There are some rumblings about some very unseemly people being attacked unseemly by some anti-Christian groups. This makes me sick, man. Like, it really does. Like, look, man, and I say this. I would say I've been a solid man of God now for probably at least a decade before I really got, like, hooked into being really the meat of my faith. And I know that a lot of people think I'm crazy, and that's okay. They thought I'm crazy for a long time. But no man, no woman, regardless of what they believe, deserves to be slaughtered. And for our fellow Americans, media, and others to look the other way at this, you may as well have done it yourself.
Well, Bill Maher acknowledged it.
Yeah.
I mean, that should tell you something.
Like, this is a problem. Like, this is a problem. Like, and this is not just like a well, you know, it's one of those political problems. We could use it. No, no. There's people being murdered in masses.
No, they're wiping out entire villages sometimes, dude.
And what's even worse is the African government is just cheesing. They're like, yeah, we're good. No. You're at this pace right now, by the end of the year, they're saying there could be as many as 9,500 murdered Christians in Africa. That's the greatest serial killing of all time besides
Well, yeah, Auschwitz, I mean, you've had a lot of, but keep in mind, this isn't an isolated thing either, though.
Yeah.
I just want to, I mean, in China, this mm-hmm. this happens still. They're not ranking. Well, we don't know the actual numbers, to be honest here, in China. We know that they have to worship and do all their stuff in secret and all that. I mean, you know that, and it's a hugely growing thing in China, even with all that going on. India, there's still problems with Christianity in some parts where that gets very much attacked and everything else. And, of course, the Middle East have always been kind of like that anyway with certain parts of it. But, yeah, it's insane, man, this whole thing in Nigeria. And I see it all the time. And, like, it's not like it's not being out there. It's getting thrown out there. But just no one – because the media is so bought into this left-wing ideology and anti-Christian, they're not going to pay any attention to it, dude. They're not. They're all about the world, dude. They're not going to pay attention.
Okay, so here's my question. If we even look at someone in this country who is Muslim or and say, hey, man, not you can't practice your religion. We just don't agree with your religion. We are instantaneously vilified, turned into bigots, and have to start looking over our shoulder everywhere we go.
Yep.
You know, I've never wanted to ask this question, Reggie, before, but I'm going to ask it. What do we do about the hypocrisy of it? Like, how do we, like, this is the ultimate in hypocrisy, right? Like, oh, it's okay for us to vilify you here, but if you go to another country, we're not going to protect you.
Dude, here's the thing. The world is full of hypocrisy anyway. We're not going to change that. We're not going to eradicate evil in the world we live in.
But this is the most, I would say, in my opinion, this is the most blatant form of it. Right.
I'm not going to say it's not, but I'm just saying, like, you know, we're not going to fix that, man. That's not, that's not it. The thing we got to understand, this is the world working as it is intended. We're heading into a direction. You know, the biblical narrative does, it's not just written 2,000 years ago, but it entails what, you know, a story until his return. So, you know, we're in the world, man. That's what we live in. Now, I think I am abundantly and so thankful that I'm in where I'm at today and where I was born at, you know, in the U.S. and how I've grown up and all this kind of stuff, because I just feel enormously. I don't have to deal with that kind of thing yet, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I just don't think – you're not going to do anything about hypocrisy or what you just keep being who you are and keep promoting the faith and doing what you do. And you just hope that your light in the darkness overcomes whatever comes the way, right? Yeah. Or influences somebody the right direction to where it goes the right way. You pray and you do the things that you're supposed to do. And that's all you can do, man. I mean, at the end of the day, this is where we're at, bro. We're in a fallen world.
It just this one blows me. Normally I can look at the garbage and be like, yeah. This one, I don't know why this one hits me so squarely, but it's like they murdered Charlie Kirk for his faith and talking about it. And they've slaughtered 125,000 Christians. If we took a worldwide total, it's probably in the millions that have been killed in the last 20 years.
Yep.
What in the name of Pete, you know, is going on? Like, it just, like, and I'm not the guy that's going to be like, oh, end times, because I don't think that's it. I'm not going to be that guy, right? Like, I don't have the nerve nor the gall to assume that I know what God's going to do and when he's going to do it.
Sure.
I just don't.
Sure.
But it makes me feel like the world is literally just going crazy. Like, it's like we've jumped the shark, right? We've jumped the shark into, from some of us are crazy, some of us still have a grip, to most of us are crazy, and the ones who have a grip probably ought not leave the house unarmed.
Like, I know. Like, I mean, but that's where we're at, bro. That's just it. I know.
Well, this question, can we bring them back? Is there a possibility of them coming back?
Sure.
You know, I mean, mental illness is real. Like, it's...
I mean, but it's, again, we're talking about, you know, the crazy's got to be put away, and we got to have some real... I think the way our education system is, and the way it's just been so overrun with these ideologies and perspectives that are not shared by most of the country, that... You know, that's going to take some time to realign and do things. I mean, I think we're talking way after we're done and gone before anything else, if it does continue to go in the right direction, right? I mean, it takes that long to kind of pull everything out from crazy town.
Yeah. You know? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a big enough Prozac for anybody to swallow that'll calm this down, but it just, you know, just been paying attention to it, and it really bugs me. It's like,
but at the same time, too, Brian, we're seeing very real increase in church attendance and stuff like that too, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is revival happening, man. I mean, I think there's, at the same token, yeah, you got all this nuts stuff going on, but there is actually, you know,
it's working. Really huge amongst teenage and men in their early 20s now, going back to the church, which I think is great.
Right.
Like that's the generation that the church has missed for so many years, because we would get out of high school and go to college and drop out and then show back up in our 40s, you know, weathered from life and having taken a beating. And now these kids are at, you know, 16, 17, 18 through their mid to late 20s are choosing to stay in the church and continue that, which I can't tell you how many years it's been talked about. Like, how do we keep from losing them in their 20s? Well, now they're flocking to the church in their 20s. So I feel like that's a huge upswing for us, you know. But it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know what to make. Like, the crazier the world gets, the less I'm able to be like, okay, I can sort this out. Now, it gets to a certain point where you're like, it's not, you can't sort it out. Like, there's no sorting this out.
I mean, right? It is a mess, man. But it's always going to be a mess. And I mean, just seeing what we're seeing in the church and like how many people and all this stuff, and it's you know, I think that's where you got to look at it and go, regardless of what the crazy is going on, he's still working.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's still, and I think that's the thing to keep your eye on, man.
Man, it's just a lot to deal with at this point.
Sure,
you know, it's a lot to you know. And even my boys are coming to me with questions, like, "Dad, why is this happening?" And I'm like, "Man, the best and always be the answer I give them is, it's in God's plan. For whatever reason, this is in God's plan.
Because we have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
But he's got it.
But he's got the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. You just got to let him drive.
Yep.
And I honestly, I've been trying to kind of take that stance in my own life as of late with all of the chaos. But I have had more positive conversations about the faith as of late from people. Like, a lot of curious people. Brian, you go to church, yeah. Why do you believe what you believe? And it's an open question. It's not that loaded. Well, let's see what we read. It's actually, they're curious. What's going on? Like, why do you believe that? You know. Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you. You know. And I'm an open book, man. If you ask me a question, I'll tell you anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, and so, I am too, dude. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, a guys like us, and I think this goes to our audience as well. Whoever listens here is like, man, you are the like guiding light for the people who are the other men who are younger than you, looking for examples, and they're trying to find something. If you're a mature Christian, you should be the one that's showing the way.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's what we're for. That's what we're. That's the point of our life right now. Like, you know.
Well, I go back to this word. You should be fearless, literally. Like, and people, and I say this all the time, man, and I can hear the sarcasm in people's voice when they respond. But, you know, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of moving on. I'm not afraid of any of it. Like, it, I don't have time to be afraid of it. But moreover, I believe the promise, right? This isn't home. This is a temporary stopover.
We're in this life to build ourselves and mold ourselves for for the next.
Yeah, we're not, you know, and
yeah, that's it.
I see all this, you know, I'm just Christian, but I don't want to die. Well, dude, I'm not saying that you just should go looking to die, but it certainly shouldn't be something you're afraid of.
No, I mean, the sting of death away. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all about like you shouldn't fear that that's a going home party.
Yeah.
But at the same token, like you got stuff he wants you to do here.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and so it's okay to want to stay here to do what you got to do. I mean, especially if you're a healthy guy and everything else. I mean, you know, but okay, on that, on this subject too. So here we are, Brian, early 50s, late 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's weird that I'm as, like, it seems like when I was growing up, you'd see somebody that was 48, 50 years old, and they were, like, beat down and, you know, done, right? But not anymore. Like, I don't feel that way at all. And, like, I'm doing all this stuff with the tire mace thing and doing all that stuff, feel great working out, you know, doing all this stuff. But I think it's weird how aging, I think, has changed a little bit over the years, man.
Well, I think it comes with the onset of lifestyle change. It comes with the onset of, you know, I think the days of the overt workaholic are over, right? Because I know my grandfather was weathered because, dude, he worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Slept all day on Sunday and watched the race and got back up at 4 a.m. and worked 12 hours for 6 days, you know, at hard labor jobs, man. Like, we don't do... I mean, I've done hard labor jobs. I don't mind them. I'll do them if I have to. But, you know, you and I don't have hard labor jobs, right? And I feel like up until the late 80s, early 90s, agriculture and things like that still were out there just kicking. And you got these guys that are just beating. And, you know, there's I've met farmers here around where we live, and you know, I'm like, that dude must be 70, and he's like, I'm 52, and I'm like,
you look well, like you're 70. Like, you're right. The life, right? The like, life you lead is going to age you in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, right? And I mean, I definitely don't like my dad and my grandfather before me were just, I mean, whew, work. They had to work hard all the time.
Didn't have a choice.
Yeah, that's it.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, I would prefer it, to be honest, but like, it's just interesting nowadays. I think this is also indicative of kind of where we are with how the global economy has pushed manufacturing and everything out. Mm-hmm. And so now we're really a consultative, service-driven kind of thing in America a lot. Not so much. You don't have the manufacturing plants and stuff, which we're going to talk about soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, I just thought it was – I was thinking about it the other day. I went to the doctor to do my checkup or whatever. So it's like – by the way, I'm off of metformin completely.
Good for you.
Yeah, completely off of metformin.
Good.
So, and I think that's actually already started helping the muscle growth and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's already done something with that, because that does seem like it's it's working.
You know what I mean? Better.
Yeah, well, yeah. Stronger. Like, definitely. Like you see muscle in. I'm growing muscle, or at least. My muscle fibers are changing.
Yes.
Seems like more rapidly than they were, right?
They are changing.
Yeah. They're changing. But yeah, it's good. I'm cool. 5.8 was my A1C, and that's without, you know. So I'm tickled, man. I'm still making progress. Yeah. I'm still my sensor over here is I just watch it, and I just make sure I do what I need to do. Yeah. I don't eat any starches or carbs and stuff, and you know, there's only certain times when I'll do that. If whatever, it's not a every, you know, I know it works. So anyway, going, that's kind of a recap of kind of the last conversation we had about fitness and stuff. But
well, I think again to address your original question, I think part of it too is now more than ever, I think there is a fear of aging.
Yeah. I think so too, yeah.
I think there's a people are very scared of becoming. I remember when, you know, being older in your 50s and your 60s was a very respected thing, that you were considered an elder and you were considered someone to be addressed and talked with and, you know, held in high regard. And now I think a couple of things. Number one, we look at the older generation as some kind of impediment to what we want, which I find just absolutely ridiculous. And number two, we fear aging. We fear it. Look, man, I'm stronger at 50 than I was in my 20s. I can do things now that I never could do before.
Yeah.
Does that take a different type of effort when I'm 50? Absolutely it does, right? Like, I have to be really careful. Like today, I heavy bench today. And I was like, all right, I got to know. Do you have your form? Is everything locked in? Is your back up off the bench? Do you have your shoulders back? Like, you've got to double check all that stuff at my age, because if you don't, it is – you thought you'd get hurt quick in your 20s. You can get lost in your 50s and not recover. So,
but it doesn't even have to be a heavy bench, though. I mean, like, even when I'm out there flipping that tire, right? Yeah.
Like, if you just have to make sure you're we at this age, really, I feel like the only thing we really need to be do is be more aware.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that for whatever reason, you know – I mean, you look at the amount of, you know, women in their 50s that dye their hair. You look at the amount of women in 50s that Botox. You look at the amount of women in 50s that, you know, are boob jobbing and all the things that they're doing. Dude, we fear aging. We're afraid. We're afraid of being, and I think the fear is we're afraid of being insignificant.
Yeah, which we all are. Yeah. I mean, we end up being, I mean, you know.
FOMO, I think somebody called it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I mean, I just thought that was an interesting. I was thinking about that, and I saw some. I did see an article that I read about a little bit about this, but I didn't get into it too much. But it was, I was thinking about after my doctor's appointment and stuff, and kind of just overall, like today, I was at worship rehearsal in the services and stuff, and doing all that, and I was thinking, you know, I really don't feel that out of place with all these 20 somethings. You know what I mean? Like it was weird, a realization that I'm not. that out of shape anymore. Like, yeah. I'm, you know what I mean? It was weird to realize that it's, I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay. Yeah. Right? There's nothing wrong.
You know? So that was interesting, but yeah. All right. So look, we're going to talk about soon. We got some things coming up, but we're still,
we're going to talk about American ingenuity.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about manufacturing. What's going on with that? Because I mean, there's a big misconception that we buy a lot of things from China because they're cheaper, but that's actually not the whole story either.
Yeah, that's part of the story.
Sometimes that's not true either. So, I want to talk about that a little bit to what's going on there, especially when it comes to tool and die. We want to talk about so on the plan, and I don't know when we'll get to any of this, by the way. Near death experiences.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about that.
And then, I think soon we're going to do the whole like angels and demons and heavenly host conversations.
Yes.
Now that I'm fully back to pretty much normal, I can do it.
Which is nice. It's nice to have normal Reggie back.
Give more time to some research and stuff. So.
And also, guys, I'm going to ask you to, you know, for those of you out there that listen to us that pray, you need to pray for the church. The church is in the middle of a lot of, and when I say the church, I mean the U.S. church, the Western church in general, is in a lot of turmoil. There are a lot of terrible influences out there within the church that are causing a lot of misconceptions about what we as Christians are and what we stand for. And if you are one who prays, you need to pray for those things to be seen for what they are. Because right now, I believe a lot of the reason why people are against the church is because of these things that they're hearing that aren't true. So just to throw that out there, because it makes it very difficult to create an air of legitimacy. Anyway, anything else, Reg?
Nah, we're good.
All right. It's RSB Talks. I'm Brian.
I'm Reg.
See you.
Bye-bye.